Okay, responding to failure. Oh, that's a tough one, huh? Responding to failure. How do we respond to failure? Well, we'll look at some other failures in the Bible first, and then we'll see what God thinks about us. So I like to look at Adam and Eve. I know you guys probably do too. And oh, by the way, before I get started on this session, if anybody would like to meet with me privately after this, I'll be here until Sunday, so I'll have all afternoon, the rest of the afternoon, to spend time with people or whatever. You can get my phone number from Tim, and you can message me privately, and no one will ever have to know that we met together. Because I'll borrow one of Tim's cars and I'll meet you wherever you want. He doesn't know that, so don't tell Tim. But seriously, I mean, you know, once in a while there's a guy or two or three or however many. It doesn't matter to me. I'll call and cancel my flight and go home later, you know. But seriously, if you want to meet, just get my number from Tim, text me. And I'll text you back, and we'll go meet somewhere and pray together. And you got questions or what? Anything? It doesn't really matter. I love you, and you know God's poured His love into my heart. I love people. Love to talk about our relationship with Christ and to help in any way that I can. So that's what this is all about. So I just want to let you know that that's open and available for anyone. So at any time, even after I leave. Even after next week, you know, that guy was saying something. I need to ask him a question or whatever. Just feel free to text me or call me, or you can get my email too from Tim. So whatever you want. Send me a Marco Polo. But anyway. All right, so responding to failure, Adam and Eve, I like to look at their story. I mean, look, they sinned once. They sinned once. And that was it. Game over. One sin. And they lost life. We sin millions of times in our lifetime. Millions of times in our lifetime. And we never lose life. How's that for safe and secure? How's that for the love of God? How's that for better than what Adam and Eve had? One time and they're gone. One time and there's death, one time and sin entered the world. We sin every day, maybe even hundreds of times a day, or whatever. Does it really matter? I mean, it does matter. Let's make that clear. Sin matters because the wages of sin is death, like we talked about, but Jesus died, He paid the wages. But I'm just saying, I want you to look at the love of God here. That's what we're looking at. Look how incredible this is. Look how awesome. They sinned once and it's over. We sinned a million times and it's never over. That's the point. The point is, look at His love for you. Look, you're safe and secure. He's saying, I can go out and sin. Yeah, go ahead. I'm not saying you are, but if you want to go try, go ahead. And what are you going to be? Miserable, right? We already know all this stuff, right? It's making sense. You're miserable when you're out sinning. You're miserable when you blow your top to your wife or your friends or coworkers. You're miserable when you flip off that guy in traffic because that's just not who you are anymore. You're not that guy. You're new. The old man died. But anyway, yeah, so I love this. I love how we're, it's just awesome. Did you see what they wanted to do? They wanted to be, Adam and Eve were looking for godliness, weren't they? They had everything they needed. They had everything they needed. I mean, can you imagine that life? It's all good, as they say, right? It was all good. They had it all good, and they really, I guess, didn't know how good they really had it because they wanted to be godly. That was the sales pitch. You can be, you'll know, you'll be like God. He's withholding something from you. I mean, He gave you almost all of his goodness. But there's a little smidgen that he's kind of hiding behind his back from you. And he was kind of keeping it from you. He's kind of withholding from you, you know? You don't have it as good as you think you do. You'll be good. You'll know good from evil. That's the sales pitch. And how many of us fall for that sales pitch? I got to be good. I got to be more, do more, say more, pray more. Evacuate the building! That's okay. No, it's all good. That's all. See, we all needed a laugh. That's what we needed. It was perfect timing. But look, what happens when we sin? Instead of running to the cross and seeing our forgiveness and seeing how good God is, even in our failure, did you hear me? Our failure. What do? We try to go run and hide too, don't we? Why not run back to God and see the cross? See the finished work. See the shed blood. See the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The one we're safe and secure in, but we try to hide. We're afraid. We don't want to say nothing. I can't say nothing. Can't admit this to anybody. I don't want nobody to pray for me because I don't want anybody to know what's going on. Right? They try to make their own covering. And then here comes God. We think God's mad at us. I even thought at one time, maybe God's going to be mad at Adam and Eve. He's going to go destroy him. It's over. But here comes God all gentle and asking questions. And then what does he do? Provides a substitute. That's what he did. He provided a substitute. Provided clothing, animal skins. He must have been a sacrifice. Must have been shed blood. And later on, right? Here's what I'm going to do, but here's a sacrifice for you for your sins. Here's a covering, by the way. It's way better than what you can put together. And then sometime, just in time, I'm going to send my son. He's going to pay for the sins of the whole world. It's not going to be about animal sacrifices anymore. It's going to be about a son. He took on flesh and bone, flesh and blood. So I love that. I love. They sinned once. We sinned multiple times. Now, do we want to take advantage of the grace of God? Of course not. You really don't. You're new-hearted. You're new-spirited. And God lives in you. So I'm going to say it often because I only have this one chance to be with you. So I have to bathe you in it or drive the gospel nail or beat the gospel drum. Is what we call it. And you go, man, that guy kept saying something about, that's right, yeah, I don't want it to get out of your mind. I want it to get in your mind so that you see your new identity and stay there. Stay in your lane. Stay right there in your new identity. He said, I have a new heart, but my performance. Oh, wait, what did he say about performance? Oh, that's right. I'm not in my right standing with God based off my performance, but based on what Christ did, his finished work. So we say, wow, wow to the cross, wow to the resurrection, wow to the love of God. I mean, absolutely astonishing. Look at Abraham. So they failed. God provided a substitute. Look at Abraham. Abraham's trying to help God with the promise. He's trying to help God out. Right? I don't have a child. I'm getting old. I know you said the promise was coming through my child, but what about if I go over there and we have another child? Maybe the promise will come through there. Trying to help God out. Abraham's lying about who his wife is. Oh, yeah, it's my sister. I don't want to get beat up or killed. Hi, I'm here with my sister. Say that you're my sister. Okay? Yeah, that's right. Say you're my sister. So Abraham doesn't get beat up and killed. And then what did Paul say about Abraham in Romans 4? It said, Abraham was unwavering in his faith. What? So much for failure. He was unwavering in his faith. So there wasn't a list of his records. There wasn't a list of what he did wrong. There was, Abraham was unwavering in his faith. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And we believed God and we got a whole lot more. We got God living in us. Look at David. David, I don't even know if he was, if I want to call it, I mean, I have to read the story again just to make sure. But I love that story because he was an adulterer and murderer and a man after God's own heart. Is God pointing out the failures here? Is God has no record of your wrong, right? There's zero record of your wrong. There's no debt whatsoever. The debt has been paid. It's canceled, forgiven. So we have David. So David's son that was born in an adulterous relationship was going to die. There was a substitute again. And David got to live. The son died, the innocent son. Son didn't do anything wrong. But now there's a substitute. There's a substitute there in the story. We see another picture of Christ before he came. Murder. Lying, deceiving, sinning. We see it all. We see a lot of failure in the Bible, don't we? We see normal people is what we're saying. We see people like you and I, but I hope you never committed murder. But if you did, if you believe in Christ, you're forgiven. Right? Doesn't matter how, look at Paul, persecutor of the church, killer of Christians. How's that for a resume? You guys want me to come, Paul, hey, you guys want me to come be your special speaker? What? No, that's okay. That's fine. No. So look at Moses, murderer. So we have a bunch of murderers here. And let's see, Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Covenant, first five books of the Bible. Let's see, we have Paul here who wrote the majority of the New Testament epistles. And you guys ever committed murder here? Or, I mean, you don't have to raise your hand because maybe you did. Maybe you've served your time and you're out. But what I'm saying is, you haven't, probably more than likely, none of us in here have committed murder. I mean, so how you doing? In your failure is what we call it, right? What's the standard of our failure? Is it what we've done or what we haven't done? Or is it based off, again, finished work? I think it's clear. It's based off the finished work of Christ. You know, 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone, it's offered to anyone. If anyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved, anyone, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. It's gone. Dead, buried, gone. Behold, the new has come, like we talked about in Romans 6, that we live a new life. It's over. It's finished. The new has come. All this is from God. Wait a minute. And based off your performance. There it is. I knew I could find it. No. All this is from God. All of it. All these gifts. All this treasure that we have in jars of clay, which is Christ himself. He's our treasure in these jars of clay, meaning we're fragile, but we have treasure in us. Christ is our life. He's our treasure. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Where's your failure again? I forgot. He's not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. What an honor. What? Now God's making an appeal. We're reconciled. We're new creatures in Christ. The old is past. The new has come. Dead, buried, gone. You can't dig him up. Some people try to say that, right? Oh, you dug up the old man. But you just really can't do that. It's gone. Dead, buried, gone. Now you get to make an appeal. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Come have fellowship with us. Come be reconciled to God. Come to these conferences. Come to our church. Be reconciled to God. Become a new creature in Christ. Because I got some good news for you. You see your failure, but I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to share good news. You ready for good news? Right? For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin. Sometimes we just breeze through these passages so fast, we kind of miss the nuggets of them or just really, you know, get it into our thinking. And really, are we going to believe God's word or are we going to believe what I did yesterday or what I might do wrong tomorrow? He knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, but he made him to be sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We talked about that in Romans 6, slaves of righteousness. You can't get away from it. It's what you want to do. You want to help people and do right. You want your conduct, your actions, and attitudes to be right. I know you do. But are we always right based off our performance? And we say no, and thank you for the cross. Thank you that we get to celebrate Jesus Christ continually. What are you? Who are you in Christ? 1 Peter 2 tells us that you're a chosen race. Do you believe it? A royal priesthood? What? Me? What are you talking about? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. You're a people of God's own possession. He owns you. He bought you with a price. I mean, this is all good news. Jesus died and he rose from the grave, paid for it all. All to him we owe. Now, man, let's celebrate that. Celebrate the gospel. That we might proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I mean, we have a new address, is like I like to call it. Right? We have a new address. Darkness comes, or, hey, there's nobody there anymore. Yeah, we've been delivered of the dominion of darkness and brought into the light, the kingdom of his Son whom he loves. We're different at the core of who we are. We're no longer in darkness. We're no longer walking in darkness. We're walking in the light. We're in Christ. He's in us. Look at this. Once you were not a people. In 1 Peter 2:10 says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Isn't that awesome? I love this. You were not a people. There was no mercy given to you. But when you believed in Christ, you became his own possession. You became part of the family forever, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Are we going to believe what the Bible says about us or what we think of ourselves? You know, some of us have a low thinking of who we are, but we need to believe God, right? Over and over, we need to believe God, what he says in his word. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which war against your soul. Now look at this. Verse 12 says, keep your conduct. Now it's what you do. What am I doing? How am I living from who I am at the core, from my new heart, my new spirit, and God living in me? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So we were grafted in, weren't we? We're not part of original Israel, right? But we're grafted in as Gentiles. We've received every spiritual blessing in Christ, every single one. Who are we in Christ? Well, by grace you've been saved and raised up with him. Did you realize that you're seated with him? That's where you are. You're seated. Dead, buried, raised, and seated. Seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean that you're seated now? You can relax. You can rest in the finished work. You're seated with him. It's over. It's finished. Now be holy and separate in your conduct. Live out who you are. Just be separate. Be separate from your old life. Be separate from your old patterns and practices and thinking. Need the renewing of our minds like we talked about a little bit earlier. You were placed in Christ. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, when you heard it, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. This is the transition, right? This is the transition. When this happened, when you heard the word of truth, when you heard the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, what happened? Well, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. That's what happened. We need to remember what happened at salvation. I was sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. It's a guarantee of my inheritance in heaven until we take possession of it. So I'm dead, buried, seated, royal priesthood, God's own possession. Who are you? Are you a dirty worm over there in the corner, or are you what the Bible says you are? You're a child of God, and he loves you. He loves you. In fact, but God, in Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says, but God, being rich, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even while we were dead, because of his rich mercy, because of his love for you, because of his care for you, because of his thinking of you, because of his heart for you, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. We're alive in Christ. We were dead in sin. We were in Adam. We had no hope, no nothing. But now we've been taken out of Adam. We're no longer in Adam. We're in Christ, safe and secure, pure and holy. Isn't that awesome? I mean, this is the God that we serve. This isn't just, you know, fluffy talking. This is what the Bible says who we are. You're sealed. And if you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, let me ask you a question. Who can break that seal? Can you break the seal? Will God break the seal? No, because it was a promise. So we have a comforter, counselor, guide. That's awesome. Sometimes we hear that, the Holy Spirit convicts us. Oh my, the Holy Spirit's going to, is it you're under the conviction of the Holy Spirit? But in John 6:8, we see that the Spirit convicts the world. You're not the world. And it goes on to say of sin, what does it say? Someone help me out here. I had just a little sin, righteousness, and judgment. Thank you, Brian. Why? Because of they don't believe. So for you as a believer in Christ, he's your comforter, counselor, and guide. Isn't that awesome? We have God living in us as a counselor, guide. I mean, come on. We ready to run yet? I mean, what a life. We're alive. But sometimes we walk around like we're dead. We walk around maybe convicting ourselves, or, you know what I mean, like condemning ourselves. But the Bible's super clear that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because Christ did what the law couldn't do. Look, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe where? In our heart. We talked about that in Romans 6. Obedient from the heart, believing from the heart. Here it is again. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. I have been, Galatians 2:20 says, not I might be, not I'm hoping to be, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith now in Christ. Not performance or works, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you see, this is sandwiched in the cross, this Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. Then he goes on to say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And then he brings it back to the cross, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's encapsulated by the cross and the cross. You're contained in there forever. Jesus lives in you and you live in him. Vine branches, what we were talking about in the break. Vine branches, you get your nourishment from him. You get your life from him. Jesus is your life. Jesus is our life when we come to him. He gives us a new life. And we need to believe him and we need to celebrate it. Where's your failure? Oh, I forgot. Does he hold a record of wrong against you? Has the debt been paid for and canceled? Now, when we sin against one another, we might have some trouble there. There might be some records of wrongs held against us. That's for sure. But we go and we say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brian, I offended you. I'm sorry that I did that. I'm sorry I said that. Because our relationship with God is right, it's right. Live out who you are and make it right with others. That's what you want anyway. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Not that you might be forgiven. I've heard it this way before. Nobody is 62% forgiven. Nobody is 83% forgiven. You're either 100% forgiven in Christ, or you're 0% forgiven and you're still in Adam. That's it. Either the blood of Christ worked the first time and there's no repeat needed. One sacrifice for sins, better than the blood of bulls and goats. It's not less than, it's way better than. Way better than the blood of bulls and goats. It's awesome. So what do we do when we fail? Or when we say we fail? When you stumble and fall, like James says, we all stumble in many ways, so we know it's coming. We're partakers of the divine nature, but we still have human skin. We still have human nature, but we're partakers of God's divine nature. Right? So we go to the cross. We go to God and say, thank you. Thank you for this perfect offering. Thank you for You know, I don't need to be more forgiven that I'm going to be made more holy. No, it's already finished. It's already done. That's the incredible love of God. That's the powerful, perfect offering of Jesus. So now likewise, we're going to go to others and be right with them because God's made it all right with us. How are we and who are we to withhold forgiveness to others when they sin against us? Why would we want to do that? Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not what you want to do anyway. Well, yes, I do. I'm going to stomp my feet and I'm going to cross my arms and I'm waiting for them to come to me. But that's not true. That's not who you are. You may try to convince yourself that's who you are. You may try to convince yourself that you want to withhold forgiveness or love or whatever. But that's not true. Don't believe the lie. The lie is you're new at the core of who you are and your desire is to have God's desires and to live it out. Be holy in your conduct. Be set apart in your conduct. Be like God there. He reached out to you and forgave you every sin and made you who you are today at the center of who you are. Now, likewise, go out and love on people. Right? I mean, if he's poured his love into our hearts, what happens? That's it? Oh, God's poured his love into my heart, and that's it. No, the point is, go love your wife. Go love your kids. I'm not saying any of you are not, but with greater love than, more intense love than we've ever had before. I mean, if someone's pouring love into our hearts, which God did through the Holy Spirit, how much love do we have to give to others? If God's forgiven us for a mountain of sin, a mountain, or maybe two mountains, maybe three mountains. For me, I have about 35 mountains, maybe. But seriously, the more you see how much you've been forgiven, the one who has been forgiven much loves much. Whoever's been forgiven little loves little. So if you think, well, I only had like four sins or whatever in my entire life, then you're going to love little. But if you see your life and what Christ did for you in the reality of, just in reality, you're going to love much. Because the Holy Spirit's poured God's love into your heart and you won't be able to help it. That's who you are now. So are there really failures in the Christian life? I mean, are you a failure or are you a saint who sometimes misses the mark maybe, or maybe sometimes I say the wrong thing or cuss or flip that guy off on the road like we were talking about earlier? I mean, it's not based off what you have done or do, or you're slave to righteousness. You love people. God's poured it in there. And what happens when it's poured in? It's got to pour out somewhere. Let's celebrate this gospel. Let's thank our God. Let's run around and be thankful for what he's done. You know, as far as, you know, we call it our purity, right? Well, I got to remain pure. I got to remain holy. Too many I's in there, right? I got to do something. God already did it, but I know what we're saying. We want to be pure, and what we think about being pure is, I didn't look at pornography this week. I was pure this week, you know, because I didn't look at pornography. I was a good boy. Wait a minute. I was a good boy. I was good. Well, yeah, in a sense, you are good, but it's not based on what you did last week. But God made you good. Only a good tree can bear good fruit. But if you think you're good because of your performance, then that's, no, you don't want to go there. I didn't look at pornography, so I'm good. So you're saying when you look at pornography, you're bad. No. That's not accurate. You're taking God with you and you're going to be miserable. However, if you're struggling with sexual sin, it's good to put, you know, a blocker on your phone, for example. Maybe to get rid of your phone, another example. And I would have resisted that one. Maybe get a flip phone for a while. Anything that can help, you know, cut off the access to. But it's not cutting off the access to that makes you right. It's just that we're all learning and growing, and we want to, we do. If we need that kind of help, it's not wrong to do that sort of thing. You know, it could be good for a time until I'm learning who I am, until I'm growing, until that no longer has power, right? Because it doesn't have power. We read that in Romans 6. And now I have a choice to let sin reign. Well, I don't want let sin reign, and it's raining right now. You don't need an umbrella. You already have blood. You know, you just put a blocker on your phone, maybe get a flip phone for a while. You know, people say, well, put your computer out in an open area so that you're on it, the family members are there. Those kind of things. Those aren't bad ideas. They're not bad, but that's, just don't get caught in the thinking that, you know, no, now I'm holy. Now I'm, but victory is an awesome thing. Don't get me wrong, but don't make that about whether I'm pure or not for the weak, because that doesn't determine who you are. That just determines what you did for the week, you know? And so what you're doing is you're just not, we are just not celebrating who we are in Christ and our identity. We had an identity, I had an identity crisis. I thought I was going to go over there and see if this sin was going to provide something good for me. Well, let me tell you, you already know the answer to that. If you've been there just a few times, you know the answer to that. It's not going to provide anything for me. It does nothing for me. It takes, in fact, it takes your time. It takes your energy. It takes. And God gives, and then gives some more. His grace superabounds. That's what it means. And we're not talking about hyper grace, by the way. We're talking about, because there's consequences. We want to go out and sin. There's consequences for sin, but not by God. There's not a consequence for sin now with Him. If you're a child of God, you're safe and secure, right? But there's consequences with your wife, or there's consequences with your friends or family. I mean, if I tore out of here in Tim's car that he's going to loan me this afternoon, and I tore out here at 150 miles an hour down the road, what do you think is going to happen? No one's going to be able to meet with me because I don't think they have visitation in jails tonight, maybe, you know, or I'm going to jail. That's a consequence. But look, Jesus faced the consequence for us. He was brutalized on a cross. His blood was shed. We look at that cross and celebrate. God, how can you put up with me? How in the world can you love me to this extent? Why? How? I see who, but I just can't comprehend in my pea brain why and how you would love me to the extent that you do, that you never give up on me. People have given up on you, right? Maybe they've given up on you. Maybe they say you need more help than anyone can give. Maybe they've said there's no hope for you. Well, that's wrong, wrong, wrong. If you're in Christ, yeah, we can have broken relationships and maybe, you know, there's lack of forgiveness or, you know, you need to stay away from somebody that's wronged you and they're kind of a dangerous person maybe to be around, not because they're going to kill you, but, you know, it's just maybe they're super negative all the time or whatever. I just can't hang out with that person anymore or whatever. You know, and that's fair. You can be fair and say, okay, this for me, I'm going to stay away from Tim Wilson for a little bit. I'm still going to borrow his car, but does that make sense? So anyway, that's all I have for you in this session, so we can move in. If anybody has any questions before we move into another break, or all right, let me pray again, and then we'll go into another break. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we see these failures, or what we see is just living in humanity, really. You know, we see Abraham and Adam and Eve and Moses and Paul, and I can imagine Paul writing the book of Romans, the letter in Romans 8, trying to get through it. I Now there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Imagine that tore him up in his heart, thinking, wow, the cross is incredible. The love and forgiveness of Christ is rich and deep and amazing. And so help us, Lord, to see that. Help us to recognize that we're not failures. We're saints who sometimes sin. James says we stumble in many ways. And we get it wrong. We do. We get it wrong. And help us to make it right with our friends and family and those around us. You know, we've been forgiven so much. And you say that if we've been forgiven much, we'll love much. Thank you for pouring your love into our hearts. Thank you for sending Christ to be the perfect offering. Thank you that we were crucified with him, buried and raised and seated in heaven, safe and secure in your arms. And we just celebrate the gospel and say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.